We had a bit of a problem that you may recall discussing last time in a kind of a stira kaviyachol between Tosus at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Beis Amud Aleph and a sugya later on in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. And the issue here is about Haktaras HaYimurim. Is there a Machshava Poseles at the time of Haktaras HaYimurim? On the one hand, Tosus at the beginning of the Masechta assumes that there's no Hava, it's not even possible to talk about a Psul Machshava in Haktaras HaYimurim because Hu Atzmo Shlo Huktu Emur of Kasha. Even if there was no Haktaras HaYimurim, the carbon itself is kosher, and it's not possible to entertain a possibility of a machshava poselis after the carbon is already kosher. So Haktaras HaYimurim is a very nice, shall we say, luxury item to enhance and embellish the hakravas hakarbon, but it's not a critical part of the hakrava. And that critical part of the Hakrava was already clinched at the time of the Zrikas Adam. So what kind of Machshava Poseles would be applicable to Haktaras HaYimurim? And Tosus is operating with a pure Svara. In contrast, we saw the Gemara here on the bottom of Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. And the Gemara has a whole complicated drasha, Yalfusa, to exclude from the following Havamina. We're talking now about a machsheves pigul of chutz lizmano, which means that he had a machsheva during one of the avodos that the basar would be eaten tomorrow. And the Gemara wants to know, what about shvichas shirayim and haktaras HaYimurim? Is there a machsheves pigul? Let's say at the time that he was marked to the Himurim, he had a machsheva that the achilas basar would come tomorrow. And the Gemara, based on a very complicated hekesh, comes to the conclusion that the pigul machshava only applies to those avodos that are makvos es hakorban, es hakapara, yotza, but this excludes both shvichas shirayim and haktaras HaYimurim she'eino ma'akvim es hakapara. So why does the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel require a yalfusa? And the exclusion here is under the language of, quote, Ein Mechaper Mesakapar, to exclude Pigel from Haktaras HaYimurim. So if at the time of Haktaras HaYimurim he had a machshava to eat the basa tomorrow, that would not generate Pigel in the HaYimurim. And therefore, there would be no Chiv Karis if he ate the HaYimurim. And that's derived from this Hekesh here, El Bayom HaShlishi Lo Yiratza, etc., etc. When Tosus says at the beginning of the Masechta that does not have Havamina to talk about a Machshava Poselis in Himurim, in Haktaras HaYimurim, because as Tosus says, even if the Himurim were lost, even if there was no Haktaras HaYimurim, the carbon is kosher. So where would a Machshava Poselis have any Shaychis to Haktaras HaYimurim after the carbon is kosher? So we explained, based on the Brisker Rav here in Os Yud Zayin, in the Sefer Nefesh Tova, that there's a fundamental difference between what Tosus is talking about at the beginning of the Masechta and what the Gemara Daf Yud Gimel is addressing. In the case of Tosus, Tosus is dealing with the following issue. We have a halacha of a machshava, for example, of Shalo Lishma. And that, the Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim establishes that a machshava of Shalo Lishma is a machshava poseles vis-a-vis Ola Labailam L'Shem Chova. And Tosus says the following, that there's not a Havamina that at the time of Haktaras HaYimurim, if he had a machshava of Shalo Lishma, that the Bailim wouldn't be Yotze, they wouldn't fulfill their obligation. They already fulfilled their obligation. At what point? Sure. With the Zrikas Adam. So therefore, you know, when the Mishnah addresses a halach of Shalo Lishma in one of the Avodos, which is Mafkia the Bailam L'Shem Chova, Olo L'Bailam L'Shem Chova, it means because until the fourth Avodah, the Zrikas Adam, we haven't yet determined and established whether or not it's Olo L'Bailam L'Shem Chova. After Zrikas Adam, when it's already Olo L'Bailam L'Shem Chova, and the Chiyuv, as we embellished it last time, the Chiyuv Haktar Simur is a separate mitzvah that has nothing to do with the Chova of the Bailim. The Bailim could go back to wherever they have to go back to after the Zrikas Adam. And here the Brisker Rav quotes another Gemara on Daf Chof Tesam and Aleph, and there the Gemara uses the following language, Achar Shu Kosher Yachsov Yifsol, meaning you can't passel the Karbala Mafreya. And not only that, in the case of Shalol Lishma, there is no psul in the carbon itself. The Gufa Shal carbon is kosher. And as far as the Bailam being Yotze and Olo the Bailam Shem Chova, that he already clinched at the time of the Zrika. So that's the Svar of Tosfos that he establishes here at the beginning of the Masechta, as far as the psul of Shalol Lishma at the time of Haktara Sayimurim. That's not the Sugya on Daf Yud Gimel. There the Gemara is addressing a different issue, and that is whether or not you can have a Machsheves Pigul that would engender in the Basar a din of Pigul. So again, the carbon was definitely kosher, the Gemara never doubts it at the time of the Zrika. But now, if he has a Machsheva to eat the Basar, Chutz Lizmano Lemachar, then that would engender a Psul of Pigul in the carbon, a chalashem pigul in the carbon. And the Gemara wants to know, would it be that since we need the haktar seimurim, and that's going to set up the achilas habasar, if he had a machshava of chutzus mano at the time of haktar seimurim, would that engender a din of pigul in the carbon, meaning in the basar of the carbon? So for that, I need a gzeres hakosuv that differentiates between two categories of avodos. And when and which avoda lends itself to a machsheves pigul to engender a shalol lizman a psul and a, not a psul but an isur kares in the achilas habasar, that's only an avoda hamaakeves esa kapara, and that's derived from the pasuk which mentions the ritzui and the kapara. But in an avoda which does not engender the kapara, it's not ma'akiv in the kapara. For example, shvicha shirayim or Haktar Simurim, in such a case, a machshava of pigul of chutzus mano in the basar would not engender pigul in the basar. For that, I need gzeres hakosuv. So again, lo roizeh k'roizeh. The gzeres hakosuv is not going to help me for the question of Tosfos, and the svar of Tosfos is not going to help me for pigul, where I need gzeres hakosuv, because in the case of haktar simurim shalol lishma, Tosfos has a simple svara that the whole power and the impact of Shalol Lishma is to be mafkia the Olo L'Bailam L'Shem Chova. Says Tosfos, I have a simple logical svara to say that that's irrelevant to Haktar Simurim because the Bailam have already achieved their Kapor. That's not going to help me, that svara for Pigul, because I want to know if there's a Machsheves, Chutz L'Zmano, and Achilus Abbas at the time of Haktar Simurim, and that's going to engender a Chalashem Pigul in the Basar. For that I need a Gzeres HaKosov. That Gzeres HaKosov on the flip side is not going to help me for the discussion about a Machsheva Shalol Lishma at the time of Haktar Simurim. Because if Machsheva Shalol Lishma would operate at the time of Haktar Simurim, it would be Mafkia the Bailam L'Shem Chova. And that's a Shalol Lishma. But the answer is the Bailam were already Yotze their Chova because of the Svar of Tosfos, which is Liachash Ukosha Yachsov Yifsal. And here the Brisker Rav goes one step further. And he says the following, that fundamentally the concept of Machshava Poseles would be applicable even to Haktar Simurim. So for example, in a Machsheves Pigul, if not for the Gzeres HaKosuv, the Machshav of Chutz Lizmano would be Chal in the Avoda of Haktar Simurim vis-a-vis the Basar. Because since the Basar is only Nitar as a result of what? Of Haktar Simurim. So Haktar Simurim vis-a-vis the Basar, not vis-a-vis the Bailim, but vis-a-vis the Basar, is the critical Avoda. That's the Avoda, the Haktar Seimurim, is the Avoda that sets up the Basar L'Achila. And again, if not for the Gzeres HaKosuv, we would have said that a Chutz L'Zmano, as far as Achila's Basar, at the time of Haktar Seimurim, would engender Pigul in the Basar. But it's not that the Gzeres HaKosuv is telling me that it's not an avoda. It is an avoda vis-a-vis the basar. Haktar Simurim does qualify as for the status of avoda vis-a-vis the basar. So the only problem is pigul. As far as pigul is concerned, there's a separate halacha that what kind of avoda do you need to engender machsheves pigul and a chalos pigul in the basar? Only an avoda which reaches the highest level of what? Of being ma'akiv as a kapara. The avoda itself doesn't reach that level. But that doesn't mean that I can't have a machshava poseles in Aktaras Imurim. Says the Brisker Rav, you would have a machshava poseles in Aktaras Imurim if not for the fact that the Bailam were Olu L'Shem, was already with the Zrika, was Olu L'Bailam L'Shem Chova. But in terms of the relationship between Aktaras Imurim and the Basar is concerned, you could have a machshava poseles, meaning Haktaras Imurim vis-a-vis the Basar is an avoda. Again, it's not ma'akev the kapara. It's not going to undermine the ol l'bayim l'shem chova. But there could be a haktoras haimurim with a machshava poseles that would undermine the achilas habasar.
And
wait a second. Let's just see what the Brisker Rav is saying over here. What would be a case of a machshava poseles? So if you take a look on page Yud-Tes, which again I don't know what page it's on in your edition, but anyway, look for a paragraph that starts v'af dilich ora, and there he says the following. You'll tell me, well, what's the nafkamina here? What are you talking about a machshava poseles? In Aktaras Haimurim, after all, Aktaras Haimurim, even if they don't exist anymore, the carbon is kosher. And the answer is, says the Brisker Rav, Legavi Heter Achilas Abbasar, that since Aktaras Haimurim vis-a-vis the Heter Achilas Abbasar is a critical avoda, therefore you could have a Machshava Aposelos. How does the Brisker Rav know that Aktaras Haimurim is critical for the Achilas Abbasar? The answer is the Sugyim Psachim on Daf Nun Tesem and Beis. So let's say, says the Brisker Rav, if at the time of Aktaras Haimurim he would have a Machshava Shalo Lishma, if Machshava Shalo Lishma is Machshava Poseles, then although again it wouldn't be Mafagel the Basar, because for sure there's no pigul in Haktaras Haimurim, which is not an avoda that's Ma'akeves Sakarman, but there could be a conclusion that this machshava of Shini Kodesh would passel the basar for achila. And the truth is that the Brisker Rav has to do a number of different somersaults in the air in order to set up this kind of machshava poseles, because you know once he was makdir a kezias, then he could have a machshava poseles for the balance of the emurim. Again, if you hold like that shita, that you need all of the emurim to be brought on the mizbeach, and this is what we worked on last time. Okay, Alan, if you have any comments, now's a good time to make your comments so that I can go on with the shiur. Yeah.
At that very point, where after you were marked here, a kazayas of the Imurim, that you can be mafagel in.
Well, again, we're not talking about pigul, because again, it's not a machshava makeves sakar. We're talking about a machsheves, let's say, shalom lishma.
Don't
confuse me with pigul, because
okay,
I don't want to go backwards and then have to say over the whole shiur again.
there is a rule, there is some mandamer that say, I don't know whether it's the majority or not, that you can't be mafagel part of a avoda. It has to be the whole avoda.
No. Right, so again, please, no, Alan, see, let's not talk about pigul. As soon as you say the word pigul, I'm in trouble here, because again, there's no pigul in an avoda that's not my Kevin Sakar.
But wait, let me finish the sentence.
Okay, good.
Does that same rule apply to by machshava, not pigul, but shalom lishma?
Right, let's say in the case of Shini Kodesh or Shini Bailim,
yes,
if for example, if we're talking about Haktaras Haimurim, and that's going to be Mata the Basar,
yes,
we're going to say that it's very possible here to have a Machshava Poselis of either Shini Kodesh and Shini Bailim. You're going to have to work out all the gritty details as far as the Heter HaBasar is concerned. So again, I'm right now, because I don't want to review last year that we did 2 days ago. I just want to move on. And my agenda for today is really Os Yud Ches. So you could go through the whole shiur that we had on Monday with all the different differences about Kezias and the entire Ketores and so forth and so on. Oh. Now, let's talk about the Svara of Tosfos. What was the Svara of Tosfos? Tosfos says that at the moment that he's marked to the Imurim, he's already, the Bailam has already been Yotzei his Chiyuv at the point of what? Of Zrika. Everybody with me on that? So therefore, Tosfos says that it's irrelevant to talk about a psul of Shalol Shma at the time of Akhtar Simurim to be Mafkia the Chiyuv HaBailim, the Yotzi Yedei Chavasim of the Bailim, because that already was clinched at the time of the Zrika. Oh. So now he has a sugya on Daf Pei Gimel. What's the sugya on Daf Pei Gimel? What happens if he was mocked to the Murim before Zrika Saddam? We've been assuming until now that by definition Akhtaras Murim takes place after the Zrika Saddam. And therefore Tosfos Svara is, since he was already Yotze Yedei Chovaso, who cares about the Machshava Shalol Lishma at the time of the Akhtaras Murim? It's already fafalan, so to speak. It's too late. He already clinched his Yotzi Yedei Chovasa with Zrika. But the sugya later on in Daf Pei Gimel tells us that if he missed on the sequence, if he switched around the sequence, and instead of doing Zrika first and then Akhtaras Emurim second, he was makdim the Akhtaras Emurim first, and then only afterwards he did the Zrika Saddam.
So who says that doesn't apostle it right there?
So the Gemara says that in such a case the Haktaras Murim is kosher, and the principle is that once you started the process of Haktaras Murim before Zrika Saddam, lo yeridu, you know, so you don't stop the process and take the Murim off the Mizbeach. And the question is, why is that so? Is it really, on the one hand, this before the Brisker Rav, that the Emurim are psulim, because you can't be marked to the Emurim before the Zrika? Elamai, we have a different halacha of Kevin Sha'olu Lo Yardu, that somehow the Mizbeach has the power to, so to speak, be Machshel Haktorah. Says the Brisker Rav, that's not what's going on over here. According to him, this din that Akhtaras Emurim takes place before the Zrika and we allow it to complete itself, it's not midin psulim sha'olu l'mizbeach lo yardu, ela, but rather kevan she'emurim k'sherim heim, the emurim are considered emurim k'sherim, ela what? They're missing Zrika. So in such a case, the Akhtara of the emurim is k'shera before Zrika. The Zrika will take place later. Now what happens, according to the Nefesh Tova, based on the Brisker Rav, if he had a Machshava of Shalol Lishma at the time of Akhtaras Emurim before what? Before Zrika. If the Akhtaras Emurim is Kshera before Zrika, now he had a Machshava Poselis of Shinui Kodesh. In such a case, the Svar of Tosfos no longer applies. Tosfos says, Me'achshu Kosher Yachsavi Posel. Everything was done kedasu kedin at the time of the Zrika. Now what's going to happen at the time of Akhtaras Emurim? But in this case, Akhtaras Emurim took place when? Before the Zrika. That should be considered a problem as far as Tosfos' Svara of Shalol Lishma. And the Shalol Lishma now would pasul Akhtaras Emurim. Why does Tosfos say it's not shayach? You can't even entertain the possibility of a psulin of Shalol Lishma at the time of Akhtaras Emurim. Nicha, if Akhtaras Emurim took place after the Zrika, then Tosfos' logic makes sense. But if he took the Emurim and he was mocking them before the Zrika, that's considered as if the Basar was Nitar al Yedei Akhtaras Emurim. Akhtaras Emurim is kosher, and in such a case you should have a Machshava Poselis, and you can't apply the logic of Tosfos. Of course, you'll ask the Brisker Rav the following question. If you are mocked to the Emurim, all the Emurim, before Zrika, then that's a little bit of a problem, which which actually is raised by the Or Sameach, and that is, we have a principle of Yesh Basar, meaning that the Zrika requires Yesh Basar. If there's no more Basar left, then you have a problem. So the Brisker Rav says the following. This is considered Yesh Basar, not because physically you have Basar, the Basar is already up in smoke, but nevertheless it's considered Yesh Basar if the Haktar was Haktar Kshera. Well, the Gemara thinks in the case of Ein Basar, that's a problem because you cannot achieve a Haktar Kshera. But in this case, that he was Matir Emurim before the Zrika Saddam, and then he was Zorika Saddam, everything is kosher, even though Ein Basar, because it's considered Yesh Basar. And Lechora, that's against a Sugyan Daf Kuf Dalet Omer Aleph. Everything ties in together. And that's the sugya of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is a Tana who maintains that him ain basar, ain dam. So if that be the case, how do you imagine a case where he was makter the Murim, and then he did the Zrika, and everything is kosher, according to the sugya that we saw, Daf Pei Gimel? How could that be, according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says, im ein basar ein dam? So he explains, ein basar ein dam, according to Rabbi Yeshua, doesn't mean that you need the zrika to be mat to the basar. But what you need is that to be a kium of the basar. And it shouldn't get totally lost. That's where Rabbi Yeshua says, if the basar is completely lost, then there's no zrika sadam. But here, what we have is that the basar is not around, but nevertheless, there was a kiyum of haktara. Again, I'm not going into the differences here between Ola and Chatos. I mean, you could have a blast with this sugya. But the one point that we want to make here is that even according to Rabbi Yeshua, who holds, im ein basar, ein dam, and if the basar is completely lost, then the zrika is not going to be an effective zrika. That's not against the sugya on Daf Pei Gimel, because the sugya on Daf Pei Gimel is talking about a case where there is basar. What does it mean there is basar? Not that there's basar at the moment of zrika, but that there's a kiyum haktara in the basar. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua is addressing the case of nevad, where there's no kiyum haktara in the basar. That's where he says the main basar ain't down. But if there was a kiyum haktara in the basar, because the haktara was haktar kshera, then even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that the zrika is kosher. Oh. That's what he says on the top of the left column here in my edition. Anyway, he says, Zedafka, when does Rabbi Yeshua agree that you could have a Zrika without Basad? Because Keva de Cheshiva Haktar Kaktar Kshera, that's enough to be Masha the Zrika Saddam. So we have both Haktara and Zrika, but the Haktara took place before the Zrika in Cain. If that be the case, Mishkachasle, we now have a Mitzius, we have a scenario where the Machshav of Shalol Lishma at the time of Haktar Simurim before Zrika should passel the Karbon, which means again that it shouldn't be Ola Labailam Shem Chova. What are you going to tell me? The Zrika was done already and the Bailam Klish the Kapara, but here the Haktar Simurim was before the Zrika. So I mean, if the Haktar Simurim before the Zrika would not be kosher, then there's nothing to talk about. The Karbon is already passel, you don't have to talk about a new psul of Shalol Lishma B'Shas Haktar Simurim. But now we're talking about a case where, according to the Sugyon Pei Gimel, the Haktar Simurim is Haktar Kshera, so there's nothing to passel the Karbon. Ella, what are you going to tell me? There already was Zrika, but the Gemara is talking about a case where there was no Zrika yet. And if there was no Zrika, the Haktar is Haktar Kshera, the Karbon is a Karbon Kosher. But now we introduce the element of Machsheves Shini Kodesh, Yad Machshav Shalol Lishma, is according to the Brisker Rav. Why does Tosus assume, as a Dover Pashut, and a Svara Pshuta, that there could not be a psul of Shalol Lishma and Bailim after the Zrika and Haktar Saimurim? What about a case where there's Haktar Saimurim before the Zrika? Tosus assumes that Lo Mishkachasle, that there's no such possibility of a psul of Machsheves Shalol Lishma of Shini Kodesh at the time of Haktar Saimurim, because he was already Mekayim his mitzvah, the carbon was kosher, completely kosher, at the time of what? Time of Zrika. So therefore you can never have a psul of Shalol Lishma at the time of Haktar Simurim. Here's a case where you could have a psul of Shalol Lishma at the time of Haktar Simurim. And we're up now to the paragraph that starts the af. Even though what Tosfos says that you cannot learn from the Hekesh that would be a psul of Machshavas Shalol Lishma at the time of Haktaras Simurim, maybe we could say that what Tosfos means is that the Hekesh is applicable only in what we call Mistama. What do I mean by Mistama? Mistama means in the general case of Haktara Kedarko, where the Haktara was done in the normal procedure, and that's how we learn a Hekesh. In the normal procedure, when does Haktara Simurim take place? After the Zrika. Haino Liachar Zrika Saddam. Mikoloko Mashakosev Tosis Basar came. When Tosis later on, Dila Kamon Lo Maisi Kra Dila Shem Zoveach, the Hainu Shinu Bailim, that when the Pasuk comes to tell you that you need a Machshava L'Shem Zoveach, which means the exclusion of Shinu Bailim, Mishums, and this is the language of Tosfos, the Vishas Haktara Lo Mishkachas L'Shem Zoveach, in other words, at the moment of Haktara, you can't talk about a Machshava L'Shem Zoveach, because what are you going to talk about? After the Zrikas Adam, you have to have L'Shem Zoveach. Once the Zrikas Adam was done, he was Mekayim his mitzvah. Why should you require, what shaykhs to require L'Shem Zoveach? Because, says Tosfos, and this is his language, B'shas HaKtara Kfar Nizrak Adam. And Tosfos says that if you're going to talk about L'Shem Zoveach, or Shalom L'Shem Zoveach, meaning a Machshav of Shinu Bailim, Tosfos says it's impossible to talk about that at the time of Haktara, because Kfar Nizrak Adam. Why is Tosfos say Kfar Nizrak Adam, Mishkaches L'Shinu Bailim, Haktara Kodem Azrika? So I wanted to give an answer to this question, and I'm going to try to see if I could read that into the next paragraph. My answer would be the following, that when we talk about Haktaras Imurim, and we talk about the fact that the Haktaras Imurim is not relevant to the Bailim, we're not talking about Haktaras Imurim before. In other words, it doesn't matter what the scenario was and when and how he did the Haktaras Imurim. What we're saying here is, and what Tosfos means, is something about Haktaras Imurim per se, irrelevant to the lemaisa of it, to the hechatimtza. Haktaras Imurim as an avoda is relevant to the basar, but it's not relevant to the bailim. Meaning, as far as the bailim is concerned, they need four avodos, culminating with Zrikas Adam. And it doesn't matter one iota exactly when he did the Haktaras Imurim. That's irrelevant. Haktaras Imurim is not a participant and not a contributor to the Kiyum Chovasam of the Bailim. The Kiyum of the Chovasam of the Bailim is they have to bring a Karban with all the major Avodos, the four Avodos. Haktaras Imurim is a separate mitzvah which is going to be matir the Basar and has to be done on the Mizbeach. And that is not relevant to the clincher or the generator of Yotzei Yedei Chovas HaBailim. The Yotzei Yedei Chovas HaBailim, their obligation has a scope to it, and that scope includes number one, Shechita, number three, Zrika, number four, Zrika, and that's it. Anything in between. Now, Haktaras Imurim, I don't care where you wedge it in. You can do it kedarko after the Zrikas Adam, or you can wedge it even before the Zrikas Adam. Those are dinim that apply to Haktaras Imurim, and the power of the hechsher of Haktaras Imurim in order to be marked to the basar, that's fine. But that has nothing to do with the process by which the Bailam on the Kaim Dechova. Let's see if I can read this into the Rosh Shiva's words. Yesh levar kavodas atosis ha-doleka shinu bailim ela b'machshava of zrika amanas lizrok l'shem bailim or shalol l'shem bailim or l'shem karmon l'shem zevach shalol l'shem zevach. Hainu, why does Tosfos insist that's only with regard to zrika and not vis-a-vis Haktaras Imurim? Mishum d'bemes lo shaycha machsheves shinu bailim ela Bizrika the Shaykh le Kapara. I'm going to try to read my pshat into his words. That Kapara or Ritzui, in order for the Bailim to fulfill their obligation and their objective, that's halacha in Zrika. And now if you mess up the Zrika with the machshava of Shini Bailim, that's going to undermine the ability of the Zrika to generate the ritzui that he, the Bala Karban, needs. Vinisrabu Shara Votus Lamasheva Shini Bailim. So you'll ask me, well, if the Zrika inherently generates the Ritzui, why is the Aloch of Shini Bailim and the other three Avodas that come before Zrika? And again, the answer I think is Pashut, that all those Avodas are meant to culminate in Zrika. Hayim Mishum Shehem Mevios Lidei Zrika Umachshir Mosa. No, it's without the first three Avodas, there is no Zrika. Lekach Shaychem Umachshev Shini Bailim Mibnei Shachoshev Shetei Zrika Shalol Lishma. So at any moment of any of the four avodos, if the Kohen has a machshava of shalom l'shem bailim, which is called shini bailim, that could undermine the process which culminates with a kapara and a ritzui for the bailim. So that shalom l'shem bailim is a kind of machshava poseles like shalom l'shma, which will undermine the ability of the bailim to be yotze and for the karban to be ol l'shem bailim. Aval bak Torah, ikar mitzvasa achar zrika. We're not talking about when Lamaisa befall he did the haktara simurim. We're talking about the mitzvah. The nature of the mitzvah, the essence of haktara simurim, has nothing to do with ritzei akarman. V'eini machsheva esu materes zrika. It's not like the first three avodos that culminate in zrika. The action or the avoda of Haktar Simurim is not at all relevant to the Zrika. It doesn't set up the Zrika. It doesn't have any impact on the Zrika. It's irrelevant to the Zrika. Ulekach, even if he went ahead and he did a Haktara, you know, he did a somersault in his, a tralala in the air, and he did Haktar Simurim before Zrika, lo shaycha lachshava machshava amanas lizrok shelo lishma, because this avoda vaktor haimurim has nothing to do with zrika. It doesn't impact on zrika. It doesn't set up the zrika. It's not a machshav zrika. He says it much better than me. Dami kovakom ein azrika tzricha lavodas haktora. The zrika is not dependent upon the haktora. It's not relevant or related to the haktora at all. V'lachein af, even if lemaisa befall, he didn't do the Haktara Simurim, he did the Haktara Simurim not after the Zrika, but before the Zrika, ein shayach lachshava at the time of Haktara Simurim, it's not shayach to have machshava of shini bailim, meaning almanas lizrok esatav shelo l'shem bailim or shelo l'shem zebach, because the Haktara Simurim is a separate entity, independent of the avodos that lead to and culminate in Zrika in order to generate the kapara. The ritzui and the karban is not in any way dependent on or related to Haktar Simurim. Haktar Simurim is not like all the other avodos that set up the zrika. The zrika is going to be machaper. It's going to generate the ritzui. That's where the bailim are going to be yotzei l'shem chavos. And therefore, all these machshavos that you think could have any influence on whether the bailim were yotzei l'chavosam, those machshavos are irrelevant to Haktar Simurim, even if sequentially he was machta the Imurim prior to the Zrika Saddam. And that leads us to number Yutes. He says the following. Okay, Alan, can you give me just a few minutes, okay, and I'll just develop this one last idea. He says that I would like to offer a whole different pshat in Tosfos, not like the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav identified Tosfos at the beginning of Zvachim with the sugya daf chav tesli akashu kosher yachsov yifsol ain't kavadosam. That's not what Tosfos has in mind to that svara on the Gemara and chav tes, but rather mashakosvu delo poslo machshava baktora me achar v'yeno me'akev. That there's no way, no how, says Tosfos, that you could have a machshava posels during aktora, because Haktara is not ma'akim the karbon, and even if the Imurim went up in smoke, the karbon would still be kosher. What does Tosfos mean by this? What's a lomar? Demiha di ein Haktaras Imurim ma'akva muchach di ein Haktaras Imurim me'avodas ha'karbon. Wow, this is pretty way out. Whole new pshat in Tosfos. We have a concept called avoda, and a karbon needs avoda. It needs a minimum of four avodos. And Haktoras Imurim, Tosis points out, does not qualify as an avoda. It's a separate mitzvah. The Torah commanded you to be makta the Imurim, but don't categorize it as an avoda. In the Mela, any psula machshava, which is applicable to avoda, whether it be chutz l'zmano, chutz m'koma, whether it be shini kodesh, shini bayil, none of that is relevant to Haktorah. And this is a very far out understanding of Tosfos, which has tremendous implications, because all the somersaults in the air that we try to do to set up a machshava poselus and Haktoras Imurim, with all the different scenarios that we discussed, all that goes down the tubes according to this new pshat in Tosfos. It's totally irrelevant, because this Haktoras Imurim is not considered an avodah. Now, the first question I want to raise here is, if I was in the Shia, what do you mean Haktoras Imurim is not an avodah? Haktoras Imurim needs a Kohen. Haktoras Imurim is going to be mat in the Basar, Bachila, that's the Sugya Psachim. How can you tell me that Haktoras Imurim is not an avodah? I mean, again, that would solve all of his problems. It's a very smooth, glider way of interpreting the Tosfos, because then don't bother, you know, with scenarios that he did the Haktoras Imurim before the Zrikas Adam. All that becomes totally irrelevant. It's not even an avoda.
No, that's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says if it's not there altogether, it doesn't pass the court. Oh. So okay, obviously it's not an avoda.
Oh, that's what he says in the next paragraph, Alan. You could have written the text. He says Yesh Lachor Haktoras Imurim. What's the relationship between Haktoras Imurim and Achilas HaBosar? We said that Haktoras Imurim is an avoda, which is ma'akev in the Achilas HaBosar, alpi Psachim Daf Nun Tes. He says, no. There are two ways of learning the sugya in Psachim Daf Nun Tes. And this paragraph, my friends, belongs to our Shi'urim on Derech Halim. This is going to be a real typical Brisker Chakir. Yesh Lachar. How do we understand the relationship between Haktoras Imurim and Achilas HaBosar? Possibility number one, Chashiva Matir. Just like you have all the Avodos that lead up to being Matir the Zrikas Adam, and they lead up to be Matir the Haktoras Imurim, so too Haktoras Imurim in itself is a Matir for the Achilas HaBosar. And that's the way we understood it. Which would be very interesting, because let's say I was thinking out loud again, I don't know if anything I'm about to say is true, but just l'saber to ozen, let's say the Emurim got mixed up in a taromis. Would you classify the Emurim as a Dovash Yeshlo Matirin? Why? Because the Emurim is Mati the Basar. And that's the way we understood it. Olo. Now he has another possibility. And here you have to be a brisk alumnin to appreciate this. He says, Lo Mikri Mati Bakarvan. This is not a din of matir. It's not that you have A, Haktoras Imurim, that's matir, pili, achilas, habosar. No. Who din misuyam, it's a separate din, shaktorah ma'akeves esachilo. Don't get involved in achilas, habosar before the Haktoras Imurim. Now, if you go with the second shot, then what's going to be the nafkimino? If you're saying, wait a minute, don't go ahead and eat the basar, first do what? Be makta the Imurim. Now, what's going to be if he can't be makta the Imurim? Because they're lost. Then he's allowed to eat the basar. In other words, if you're going to say it's a matir, then, well, okay, if there's no Imurim, you're in tough straits. My heart goes out for you, because you cannot be matir the achilas basar. The basar is also without the matir. Right? So let's say, for example, you had Chadosh, Bizman HaMikdash, and you weren't able to bring the Omer, so tough luck. You can't be Mati Chadosh because there's no Omer. Okay, the Gemara later on in Menachos says that the Tzumah Shel Yom is enough to be Mati Chadosh. But if you're talking about a classical Matir, without the Matir, there's no Heter.
Right, exactly.
But if on the other hand, you're talking about a separate din, that in Seder HaDvarim, before you embark upon Achilas HaBosar, first be makted Imurim, Bamedvar Imurim, if you have Imurim to be makted. Ach lo chashivei Imurim matis achila, he says, v'nira d'nechleku bazeh harishonu. The Tosis on Daf Mem Gimel and Alf Kosvu, d'lohachi shayach pigul b'imurim. What was the Habamim of the Gemara? That in the time of Haktoras Imurim, you can have Pigul, or Lamaskona, if, for example, during one of the avodos, he has in mind to be makta the imurim lemachar, is then there is pigul in imurim. Afal gav, the dovar shumatir ain bo pigul. Right, the law of pigul is that you need something that's a nitar as opposed to a matir. So Tosis now has a problem. Bishleim, I understand, if he has a lemachar, he has a chutzis manam achshavin achilus basar, I understand, because achilus basar is a nitar. Notice you have to go through the entire process of akros hakarvan, including that tosimur, until you can be matir the basar bachila. So the basar itself is a classical case of a nitar. But Haftar Seimurim is not a nitar. I mean, it just goes up on the Mizbeach, you know, with the H, and it's a matir, not a nitar. So Tosis says, what's Shaykh's Pigul in Haftar Seimurim? Afal Gav, the Shaykh Pigul be Murim. And why is that so? He says, Kol Kavadalo Mikte Murim, Koinim Lo Motzi, Achli, there's no Achilas, Habosar, and that's the Sugin Psochim. Mikomakom lo chashivi matir. Tosis says, don't think that Haktor Simurim is a matir, because again, we're in trouble, because if Haktor Simurim is defined as a matir, then it should be mufka from Pigul. Pigul only applies to a nita, but not to a matir. Says Tosis lo chashivi, Haktor Simurim is not to be defined as a matir. Why? Kevan di nitmu o avdu shari v'achila. Tosa says you can't define Haktar Seimurim as a matir, because if so, even if the Emurim were lost, the Basar should still be also Bachila, because there's no matir. The very fact that if the Basar is lost or Nitma, and there won't be the Emurim, I should say, and therefore there won't be Haktar Seimurim, nevertheless you're allowed to eat the Basar, and that's the Sugim Psochim, is Mukach, that Haktar Seimurim is not a matir. And if it's not a matir, you can talk about Pigul in Haktar Seimurim. It's not a matir. But Tosis explicitly goes on record as saying, he's committed to the position, that Haktar Seimurim is not a matir. It means that before you get close to the Achilus HaBasar, you're ready for the Achilus HaBasar, before you do so, you have to be makter the Imurim, but that's only when, if there are Imurim to be makter. And now Tosis says, I understand what Shaykh's Pigul in Haktar Seimurim. Vahainu, to be hard to loma akvi, in other words, in the case where there are no imurim, you go ahead and eat the basar anyway, is muchach, we see from that, the ein heimli materia karbon, it's not a matter of the basar karbon, ella havidinli kuva bina isnuhu, meaning if there's a sequence, then it's ma'akev, in other words, we can't get to B without first passing A, we need Haktar Seimurim first, and only then will we eat the basar. He says, Lo Shayach, you can't possibly call or classify Haktar Seimurim as a matir, de lo ma'akev kishenevad. We never found a matir that in its absence, because Nebuchadnezzar got lost, there's going to be a heter without the matir. The matir, by definition, means that the entire process of heter is contingent upon the matir. That's all according to Shitas HaTosfos. However, he has a Rambam. You got to know everything to know anything. The Rambam in Perek Yud Ches Milchus Psuli HaMikdashim Aloch HaZayin says, Ha'imurim Matirim Es HaBasar Li'adam. It's clear from the Rambam that he classifies the Haktaras Imurim as a Matir. Again, we're going to have to define and answer two questions according to the Rambam. Number one, why is there Pigul in Haktaras Imurim? After all, it's a Matir. Number two, how is it possible to allow Yachilas HaBasar if the Emurim got lost without a matir? So I would say the following, if I was writing a footnote, I would say that a matir is critical if you have the possibility of a matir. The Torah could say that under the possibility of bringing the matir, it's likuva. But if there is no matir, the Torah would say you don't need a matir. He's not willing to say that. So he's stuck with this Rambam who classifies Haktar Seimurim as a matir. Oh, so now he comes back and finishes up. He says, "Yesh litlos bazeh mashir is bar b'divrei HaTosfos de'ilo havi matirin." If we go back and we connect our Tosfos at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim with the Tosfos later on in Daf Mem Gimel, who explicitly says that Haktaras Imurim is not a matir, that's why there is Shaychas Pigul in Haktaras Imurim, and that's why im nevdu. The achilas basar is mutter even without akhtar simurim. Is then yesh lomar the ein heim begeder avodas hakorban. He wants to suggest the following interdependence. You want to know whether akhtar simurim is an avodah or not? Ask yourself whether it's matir the basar. If it has direct relationship and an impact on the basar, the way the Rambam seems to define it in Psulei Mikdash, that the akhtar simurim is matir the basar, then as far as the basar is concerned, which is an integral part of the karban, this is, meaning akhtar simurim, is an avodah. However, if you go with Shita Satosis, that akhtar simurim is not a matir, then call it a mitzvah, and it might even be a mitzvah that requires a certain sequence and generates a chiyuv of bringing, of accomplishing and implementing the akhtar simurim before you go ahead and eat the basar. And that sequence is critical when you have the possibility of being matir the basar. But it's a din in sequence, it's a din in hilchas kedima, it's not a din in matir. Then he says, you can talk about the fact that ein heim begeder avodas hakorban, that akhtar simurim is not called an avodas hakorban. Again, he doesn't mean to deny that it's an avodah. Obviously, we're going to need a kohen for the akhtar simurim, but it's not an avodah on the same level, you know, with the status of the four avodos. And therefore, the nafkamina is lo shaycha ba machsheves shinui lifsol hakorban klal. So don't talk to me about a case where the akhtar simurim took place before the zrikas hadam. You're not talking about an avodah. You're talking about a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the kodshim that we should be marked in the murim. Ach, but if we go with Shitas HaRambam, and the Rambam defines and classifies akhtar simurim as a matir the basar, is mistabir, it's logical to assume that it is an avodah of the shaychem hu psul machshava. Therefore, everything that we discussed earlier, that there could be a psul machshava at the time of akhtar simurim, is all relevant, but only according to the Shitas HaRambam, not according to Shitas HaTosfos. Ibra de lefi bir zeb de bir atos hajer kushel duchte amai be inen krog abi pigul im ute akhtar simurim. Let's go back to the Gemara Daf Yud Gimel that presents a very complex derivation from a hekesh to prove that there's no machsheves pigul to be mafagel the murim at the basar, excuse me, at the time of akhtar simurim. Is menasvara yadinon zeh? We would know this without a pasuk. Why? There's no pigul because it's not an avoda. In other words, when we talk about an avoda that sets up a matir, and that, according to the Rambam, would include even akhtar simurim, then I can understand and justify the havamin and the need for a drasha as far as pigul, a machsheves pigul at the time of akhtar simurim. But if Tosfos Lishitaso holds that at the time of Haktar Simur, you're not involved, you're not engaged in an avodah, it's not a matir, then, in the same way that Tosfos would reject the possibility of a machsheves shinui kodesh, in the case of Shelo Lishmon Haktar Simur, so too, in a machshava of Chutzus Mano, as far as Pigul is concerned, how could that possibly generate a psul? It's got to have the status of an avodah. You see, here, in my humble opinion, he went a little bit too far. In other words, I don't think that Tosfos is saying that there's no Torah avoda at all in akhtar simurim. That's a little bit too revolutionary for my taste. I would say that what Tosfos means, it's not a matir on the basar, and it doesn't have the status of avoda like all the other avodas are matir, and therefore there is pigul. And therefore I would say the following, that there is a possibility of machshava poseles in akhtar simurim, but only vis-a-vis the basar. Meaning, since the Torah requires that first and foremost you bring the akhtar simurim, implement whatever word you want to use, the akhtar simurim before the achilas habasar. Now you can't eat the basar before you are makter the murim. Therefore, if you have a machshava that's relevant to the basar, for example, chutzus mano or whatever machshava poseles, there is a habmin to say that even pigul would apply to this basar. Why? Because this basar and its achila is intricately connected to the akhtar simurim. He's not willing to say that because he says once you define akhtar simurim as a sequential issue of kedima and it's not a matir in the full sense of it, then who cares what his makshava is at the time of akhtar simurim vis-a-vis the basar. So he's going to eat the basal and makor. What relevance does that have? The Akhtar Simurim and the Achilas HaBasa, two independent processes, if there's such a word. And therefore, there's no Shaychus of Machsheves Pigul. The Gemara doesn't need a Pasuk to exclude Akhtar Simurim because it's Zayin HaMakim is a Kapara from Pigul. It's excluded from Pigul because it's not Shaychus to talk about Pigul. Pigul is only Shaychus when you're about to be Matir and Nitar. So if you have the wrong mashava vis-a-vis the nitar at the time of the matir, that's called pigul. But here there's no matir and nitar. It's just a sequential thing that you have to do the haktar simur before the afil sabbos. Now, it seems to me that os chaf we've done in the past. I don't know if you can have a way of checking that out, but I would like to review just the first paragraph, or shall I say the first two paragraphs of Oschof. Because this I find, this is worthy of reviewing over and over again, because this goes way beyond the confines of Kodshim. This mamish gives us the keys to Shas. Tosfos says that if you want to know whether or not for a Machsheves Pigul you need Dibur, or it's enough to have Machshava, you have to check what I wrote in Masechet Bava Metzi. He's not going to bother repeating himself here. Now, the Brisker Rav wants to say that, and we discussed this at great length, that what's the halacha of Machsheves Shelo Lishma? Is it A, the absence of a Machsheves Lishma, or is it a new halacha, a new din of Machshava Poselis? And the Brisker Rav insists, with all his proofs, that there's no need for a Machsheves Lishma in the positive sense. You just can't have a negative Machshava which would passel the Korban. According to the Brisker Rav, we have a very clear proof from Tosfos. Why? Because Tosfos is wavering back and forth whether or not in his Machshava Poselis he had an enunciation, a dibur, or he didn't have a dibur. Now, if you assume that the reason why a Machshava Poselis, like for example the absence of Lishma, in a case of Shelo Lishma, apostles the Karban to the extent that it does, is because it's lacking in a positive Machshava Lishma, what difference it make whether it was b'dibur or Machshava? Even if it was only b'machshava, you didn't have a Machshava of Lishma. You can't deny that even in the absence of Dibur, we had just a Machshava of Shelo Lishma, he certainly did not have a Machshava Lishma. And if you're going to require Machshava Lishma to be Machshav the Karman, then what difference to make whether it was Dibur or there wasn't Dibur, Haim, Vizmargan, it's totally irrelevant. But according to the Brisker Rav, that there's no requirement of Machshava Lishma in Karman. But what? A machshava shelo lishma is a machshava poselis. Now it's nicha. When do you and how do you generate a machshava poselis to pass the karban? Is it enough to have a machshava bilvad, or you need also a deep? But that's not really what I wanted to call to your attention. He has a Rabbeinu Baruch who's quoted by the Rosh in Hilchas Tefillin, and the Rabbeinu Baruch wants to know what's the deal in Lishma, in Tefillin, or in Sefer Torah, in Mezuzah. Is it enough to have a Machshava Lishma? Or does the Sofer have to yell and scream, I have a Machshava Lishma? And I was thinking again, and I'm just repeating a comment that I made, I think, a few months ago, that if you go to a matzah factory, you know, or whatever you call it, that they're baking matzahs, what do you call it? A bakery of some sort. It doesn't have to be a bakery, but you'll notice they yell and scream, L'shem Matzis Mitzvah. So Rabbeinu Baruch has a doubt, he's not talking about Matzis Mitzvah, as to whether or not Stam needs a Dibur. You know, you have to declare, you know, with a foghorn, I'm doing this, L'shma, L'shem Kedusha, Sefer Torah, etc., etc. So the Rabbeinu Baruch brings a riot. Oh, now let me go one step further. He has the same suffix about Lishma and Get. When the Sofer is writing a Get Lishma, is it enough that he thinks Lishma, or he has to yell and scream, I am writing this Get for Yaakov and Leah? Oh. So he says the following. Says Rabbeinu Baruch, Lefi Shematzinu B'Pigul, In Machshavas, Pigul, the Torah says, Lo Yeirotze, and Afal Pichem, for Desvegen, Be'inon Dibur. He's going according to that side in Tosuf Mitzia, that a Machshavas Pigul alone will not pass the Korban, but you also need Dibur. Ah, so if this whole deal of that Machshava, in the case of Lo Yeirotze and Pigul, requires an additional condition, namely you must have Dibur, otherwise you don't violate Lo Yeirotze, and it's not Pigul, is then, in all the cases that we mentioned before, where the Torah requires Lishma, it's going to have to be with a Dibur. Because again, we're going from the negative to the positive. Just like in the negative, meaning in a Machshava Poselos of Pigul, the Torah says it's not enough that you had a Machshava of Shalom Lishma, you have to bolster that Machshava and support it with a Dibur. So too, in the positive sense, when the Machshava Lishma is generating the Kedusha Stam, it's not enough to have a Machshava, you need to support and sustain that Machshava
with a... That's not right, because that's only according to one side. It touches the tent that didn't need Dibur
No, he's proving that in the cases of Stam you need Dibur from the fact that in Pigul you need Dibur.
You need Dibur.
That's the Shidur of Meir Bach. Meir Bach is a Rishon. He comes before the Tosfos.
So what I'm saying, but that's just because that if he holds that, then of course he holds it with everything else.
No. That's what we're going to try to say over here, that the fact that you need Dibur and Pigul has nothing to do with Stam. We don't understand this, Rabbi Bach. Maybe, Alan, at the end of the day, you'll come up with an explanation for Rabbi Bach. But we don't understand Rabbi Bach. But again, in the issue of whether Pigul requires Dibur or not, Rabbi Bach holds like one side in Tosfos. I think that's also the Maskon of Tosfos, and that's Rashi Shita all over Kachin, that there's no such thing as a Machshava Bulvad. You need a Dibur. Again, I don't know all the riots
we go through.
No, he's telling me that Afalpi, even though the Torah says Lo Yirotzeh, which means Machshava, nevertheless we require Dibur, and therefore whenever the Torah decides that you need a certain Machshava, Kavanah L'shma, you must have Dibur. Yeah.
But he doesn't write it though.
He says, that's what I'm trying to explain his words. He's saying, even though the Torah says that this Machshava Posel is called what? Pigul, and that's called Lo Yirotzeh. Nevertheless, we still require Dibur. That's the Shita of Rabbeinu Baruch, which is the Shita of Rashi and the Shita of Tosus. Rabbeinu Baruch came before the Balei Tosus. And nevertheless, even though the Torah itself formulates it in terms of the Machshava that he has, and we still require Dibur, so now on the flip side of the equation, says Rabbeinu Baruch, where the Torah requires Machshava Slishma, Machshava alone is not enough. It's almost as if Rabbeinu Baruch is asking the following question, and has many implications, many repercussions. Does the Torah consider Machshava as important? Now, again, you and I might say, well, yeah, Machshava is very important. For example, let's say in the case of Kiddushin, right? L'kaddish is the Isha. The Torah says his Machshava is what determines, you know, the Das Machne, the Das Kohen. So it's not like the Torah discounts Machshav and laughs at Machshav. Machshav is flighty, it's subjective, we can't see it, we can't know about it, you know. That's not the issue of Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch realizes that in many different areas of halacha, Machshav is critical. And it could be, by the way, that you can fulfill a mitzvah with Machshav. I don't know. There are six mitzvahs which the Mishnah Berurah codifies in his introduction to Orach Chaim Siman Aleph that are b'machshava alone. Machshava is very critical. But when we're talking about that machshava having an impact in this world, so to speak, meaning now the basa becomes also b'isa karis, the Torah's pigul, or when you're talking about creating a chefta shel get in order to be Megarish and Isha, or a Cheftz of Sefer Torah for all the Deen of Kedusha Sefer Torah, says Rabbeinu Baruch, here I doubt if Machshava alone will do the job. I need a Machshava plus Dibur. And how do I know that I need Machshava plus Dibur? Because again, Lishitoso, he holds that Pigul is only a Machshava plus Dibur. That's going to be my paradigm, that wherever the Torah says that your Machshava is a requirement, it means a requirement with Machshava plus dibur. Oh. So the Rosh Hashiva says, I don't understand this, Rabbeinu Baruch. Yesh la'ayin tuva. In this halchacha, this proof, this equation that Rabbeinu Baruch assumes from Achsheves Pigul to the case of Ksiva Sefer Torin Get. In Ksiva Sefer Torin Get, what we have here, again, I'm going to read to you his language and I'll try to embellish it in my own way. You could always disagree with my interpretation of what he's saying. He's saying that Lekha Chalos Hechsher Al Yidei Machshava. We're not saying that the get became a get because of his machshava. That's not what we're saying. Ella, but rather we're saying the Be'inan Asiyoso, in other words, the machshava is a t'nai in the Asiyah. The Asiyah is writing the get or writing the Sefer Torah. The Torah says that you need a machsheves lishma such that the Asiyah could generate. In the case of get, olishma in the get, the kashrus a get. In the case of sefer Torah, the kedusha sefer Torah. It's the writing of the get that creates lishma. It's the writing of the sefer Torah that creates kedusha sefer Torah. But the Torah says that there's a machshava that's absolutely preconditional and critical in order for the asiyah to set up the lishma. So there's a t'nai in the asiyah. What allows the asiyah to generate the lishma? What allows the ksiva to generate a sefer Torah or a get? It's the machsheves lishma. Okay, maybe you don't need dibur for that. Why don't I need dibur? Because it's not a din in the machshava. The machshava is not creating the get. The machshava is a t'nai in the asiyah saget. The asiyah saget creates the get. Now all I need is machshava. Who says I need dibur? Ah, you'll ask me a kasha from pigul because l'shitasa Rabbeinu Baruch says that you're not able to generate pigul without what? Without a dibur that supports the machshava. That's a whole different issue, because pigul is a machsheves pigul. What generates the psul of pigul? It's the machshava. No, here maybe the Torah says, you know what? Machshava is too flimsy, it's too flippant, it's not reliable, we need a dibur. Let the Kohen make a declaration of chutzlis mana. But that has nothing to do with get, where the machshava is only a precondition in the asiyas aget. But it's the asiyas aget that generates the status of the get as a get. And now, Rabosa, I'd like to show you something very interesting. In another part of the Sefer, we'll take a little break, but just if you can turn to Os Chaf Aleph. Just one second, this doesn't make any sense. Why is this called Os Chaf Aleph? Here it's on page Reish Chav Zion.
Yeah, because there's different sections.
Oh, is it a new parak?
It starts over again.
Oh, when does the second parak begin? I forget. What's the first staff? This is a new parak, I guess. One second. How many prokim are in this sefer? Oh, there are two prokim. Let me just double check this.
Just Zion.
Yeah, the two prokim. And where does the second parak begin?
Tezayin
of Beis. So we just began the second parak. Not officially, but I mean, just for the purpose of this discussion. And that's going to be Os Chaf Aleph. Do you have that? Now, I need a break here because I must get myself something to hydrate myself. I have a special tzivui from my Rebbetzin, Shlita, or Tishlita, whatever you call it, that I have to keep drinking. Otherwise,
while you're drinking, can I ask you a question?
No.
Well, first of all, let me get the drink, and then you can
on your way in.
I can't drink now because there's nothing in the cup.
But you don't need that. Machshava is good enough.
Well, he's deeper. See, I'm drinking.
If you call Hector or the Turin, you hold that. That is a matir and it's an avoda. Then by doing it, by setting up the case and saying you did it before the dam,
yeah.
Then it's chutz l'zmano. It's chutz l'zmano. It's possible on the spot.
It's not zman. It's a sequence.
But it's a zman. That's a sequence of the zman.
No, I think that's
it. Yeah. What are you saying?
Then what I'm saying is that if you say that the Hector of the Amurim is an avoda and it's a matir. There's a lot to talk about.
According to Rambam, let's say.
Yeah. Then by if you're taking the case of where you have to really remakter it before the dam,
right.
Then it's chut lizmana because it was you actually remakter it at the wrong time.
I guess the Gemara again. I didn't see the sugya on Pei Gimel, but the sugya is assuming that the zman of haktaras imurim is either before the zrika or after the zrika. They're both candidates.
But I think everybody kula alma holds that the dam is also a matir of the hector of the imurim. So
well, yes and no. I mean, again, if you're talking about the Seder Avoda Kedarko, you might be right, but I wouldn't say that it's the Matir of Haktor Simurim.
Then, if all the dam is lost, then you should be able to. Then you should still be able to be Matir the Simurim, which is Aser.
Oh! I see what you're saying. Yeah. But wait a second. I thought you were trying to argue that the Haktar Simur, if it took place before the Zrika,
if it did,
then it's not Matir the Boso.
It's not a Hector Imurim altogether because it's not an avoda. It's because it's chutz lizmano. Because its zman is after the.
So again, I think your question of chutz zmano, which I don't think is an issue at all, but even l'shitoska that's an issue, I don't think that's relevant to the question of machlokas tosa in the Rambam about whether or not haktaras imurim is a matir or it's just halacha.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, if you call it a matir and you call it an avoda, then it has to be done kidarko because it becomes possible otherwise.
Even if I grant you that it's an avoda like the Shitzarama, the question is what is the zman of that avoda? And the Sugyan Pei Gimel assumes that the zman avoda is either before or after the Zrika. I mean, that's the premise of the Sugya. You can argue with the Gemara about that.
It seems to me that
it's not chutz zmano. Otherwise, the Haktorah would be.
Doesn't Kula Alma hold that you need the dam in order to be matir the imurim?
Again, you may need the dam to be matir the imurim, but that could come after the haktaras imurim. Meaning,
I can have a matir after.
No, what I'm saying is whatever's machshir. When you talk about a matir of haktaras imurim, you're talking about a strange kind of concept. You know, we're not eating the imurim. The matir here is only a question of whether or not he was the haktaras imurim was kosher or not kosher.
Yes,
and in that sense, the Gemara is establishing that the kashrus of the haktaras imurim is irrelevant to when he was matir the imurim. So even if he was zorik the dam after the haktaras imurim, that zrikas hadam is fine, it's kosher, the haktar is kosher, and together they create the kashrus
hakar. That's like saying after you made the animal was nevela, you chef them, and then you're going to eat.
Well, again, we're not, you know, when you talk about Achilles Mizbeach, you know, you talk about a whole different set of rules and regulations. The Achilles Mizbeach is a question of whether the avoda was kshera or not, you know, whether the haktaras imurim was kosher or not.
Right. So.
And we're saying now that, again, you know, that's the sugi over there, that haktaras imurim is kshera even if it took place before the zrika. Okay, Rabbi, so we don't have that much time, but I would like to introduce a fascinating piece in the Nefesh Tova. Now, to appreciate this piece in the Nefesh Tova, we have to see a Gemara in Moed Katan on Daf Yudalid Amud Beis. He quotes the sugya here in the third paragraph. I'm not mentioning what page it's on because I don't know what page it's on in your edition. So you'll call out the page number if you like. But do you see the paragraph here in Os Chav Beis, paragraph number 1, 2, 3. Paragraph number 3, it starts with the word Ella. Yesh lachem kazeh davar?
Yes.
Okay.
Reish lamed gimel.
Good. Reish lamed gimel. Okay. Now this sugya in Moed Katan introduces a concept that has far-reaching repercussions in Kachin, especially when we talk about the special role and status of the Kohen Gadol. and the sugya is Rava, and Rava wants to establish the following principle regarding the Kohen Gadol, and that is that Kohen Gadol keregel b'chol hashana, that just like you and I have a din of simcha, a mitzvah of simcha on the regel, on Shlosh Asara Golan, the Kohen Gadol has a din of regel the entire year. We used to sing it on Purim, Gantz Yor Freilich. So for the Kohen Gadol, it's a Gantz Yor Freilich. So far, so good. Now, I want to answer two questions. Number one, and not necessarily in this order, but how does Rava prove this? How does he know that this is such a status of regel regarding the Kohen Gadol the whole year round? And number two, what halacha, what principle does Rava derive from Kohen Gadol kiregel b'chol hashana kula? So I'm going to start with the second question, then we'll go back to the first question. The halacha is as follows, that if a person loses nebuch, one of his zayin krovim, he's in a state of avelus. That state of avelus is undermined, or shall we say trumped, if I can use that word in these days, because we're now very excited about being trumped. Hopefully that'll stay for a while. Is this halach of avelus is trumped by the mitzvah of simchas haregel. Okay, I'm not going to go into all the various details about that. That's the sugya in Moikot Yudalinov in Beis. So basically, regel undermines avelus. Okay? Now, principle number two is that a mitzora is obligated in niug avelus. Meaning that mitzora is, shall we say, two for the price of one. There's a piggyback here. Number one, obviously a mitzora is tame with all the dinim of tuma. But number two, the mitzora has to be noeg nihuge avelus. Again, to explain the philosophy of it is not for now, but there's very deep philosophy here in what we call loneliness or isolationism. The concept of loneliness and isolationism in halacha is usually it's antithetical to a Jew, but in two cases the Torah advocates isolationism or loneliness, and that's an avel because he's meruchak me'Hashem, and a mitzora who has to go chutz legibol machnos, he's got to be quarantined. Okay, that's just on the side, and I didn't even touch the tip of the iceberg, but all we have to know for our purposes is that a mitzora has to be noeg avelus. Okay. Now we get to the main question of Rav. How do you compare rank and file avelus, classical avelus, with the avelus of mitzora? Are they on the same level? Maybe one is derabbanan, one is deraisa, one is more chomer, one is less chomer. And the nafkamina is going to be the following. That an avel in the case of a mitzora, again, let me start again, a mitzora who has a dimension of avelus, what would happen if he wants to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash? Excuse me. Or alternatively, what happens on a regel when the mitzora encounters one of the gimel regalim and he becomes obligated in what? V'samachta b'chagecha. Does v'samachta b'chagecha trump avelus of a mitzora? And it all depends. If we identify avelus of mitzora with general avelus and it's all on the same level, then just like v'samachta b'chagecha of a regal trumps avelus, classical avelus, so too we trump mitzora. But if mitzora is a more severe kind of avelus, a more harsh or chomerdik avelus, then mechatesi. I'm not sure that regel would override a mitzora. In the Lashon HaShas, that's called mahu limitzora linog aveluso beregel. is the Metzora obligated to continue his Niyug Avelus on a Yontif? If we say that his status of an Avel is equivalent to that of a regular Avel, classical Avel, somebody who buried one of his close relatives, then the halacha is that Simchas Yontif is Doch Avelus, and that would apply to Metzora as well. If, on the other hand, I elevate and intensify the din of Avelus with regard to a Metzora to a higher level than that of classical Avelus, then it could be that his Avelus will override Simchas Areg. Oh. Says Rava, I'm going to prove to you that Avelus of a Metzora is on a whole different plane, and it's much more chomer than classical Avelus, and Regel is not going to trump the Avelus of Metzora. That means that the Metzora is going to be knowing his Avelus even on Yontif, and I'll prove it to you from the din of a Kohen Gadol. Because again, Rav is about to establish, we haven't gotten to that point yet, that a Kohen Gadol has a din of Simcha the whole year round. And yet, the Brisa establishes that if the Kohen Gadol is a Metzora, then he does not do the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? Because of his Avelus. In terms of his element of Tumah, we may have elements of Tumah Hutra and Sibur. Again, we have to know all the details. We're talking about a Karban Sibur, and that's not a problem. But we have another problem, which Gemara assumes is even more basic, and that's the Avelus. That's like an Onin. An Onin is someone who lost one of his close relatives before the burial. And an Onin is excluded from doing the Avod. Let's say Kohen is in Aninus. He's not allowed to do the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, he can't even eat Kodshim. You know, Balmum is excluded, Kohen Balmum is excluded from doing the Avod, but at least he can eat Kodshim. There's no Afkar. But in the case of an Onin, the Torah is very, you know, very strict with an Onin. He's not allowed to do the Avod. He's not allowed to eat Kodshim. In fact, we'll see later, he's not allowed to even be Mishaleh HaKarbonos. He can't even send his carbon through a shliach. Let the shliach bring the carbon to Beis HaMikdash. Oh, what happens if the Metzora wants to do the avoda? He has the same status as an onen, but now we talk about Kohen Gadol. If he's a Kohen Gadol, says Ravi, as a din of regel becholimos hashana, maybe the din of regel would trump his status as an Avel, in quotation marks, in terms of a Metzora who has Avelus as well. And the answer, says Rava, is no. The Brisa says, with a special Gzeres HaKosuv, V'hatzorua, an extra Pasuk, L'rabos es HaKohen Gadol, that just like a Metzora, in a general sense, if he's not a Kohen Gadol, but he's a Kohen Hedjot, his Avelus prevents him from doing the Avodah. So too, even if he's a Kohen Gadol, he too, as a Metzora, is excluded from doing the Avodah by virtue of his Avelus. Says Rava, why? Why shouldn't the din of Kohen Gadol, B'chol Yimos Hashanah Kiregel, establish a mitigating circumstance, meaning an override to the Avelus, and let the regal status of the Kohen Gadol the whole year round trump his status as Avelus? You see from this that the Avelus, says Rava, you see from this that the Avelus of a Metzora is more chomor than an Avelus of a rank and file citizen. That Regel is Doch Avelus, but not in the case of the Avelus of a Metzora. Because if the Avelus of Metzora, like classical Avelus, would be trumped by Regel, then a Kohen Gadol the whole year round, even though he's a Metzora, would not have any sort of din of Avelus. And why is he excluded from doing the Avoda when he's a Kohen Gadol Metzora? After all, he has the din of Regel. So you see that the answer is that Regel is not enough to be Doche, the Avelus of whom? Of a Metzora. And therefore, I have an answer to the original question, says Robert, that the Gemara raised here, Mau Mitzora Maushi Yinog Esaveluso Bereg. Let's see it inside. You have the paragraph that starts Ella? So this is a quote from the Gemara in Moed Kod. Mitzora Maushi Yinog Tsaraso Beregel. Right? In other words, his Didim of Avelus would not be overridden, according to one side in the Gemara Sofek, by Regel. Okay, fine. So now skip to the next paragraph. Poshet le Rava Hasa. Rava comes to be Poshet the Sofik. Toshma. Vahatzarua, from the extra word atzarua, the Brisa has a ribui l'rabos kohen gadol, that a kohen gadol is a mitzora, even if, let's say, we can override his tumah issue, but he still has an issue of avelus, of being noeg his tzoras as a mitzora status as an oven. Frek Rav, I don't understand. For kohen gadol, the kol hashana keregel lekuli alma dami. There's no difference, no hair's breadth of a difference, says Rava, between the regel of a kohen gadol the whole year round and our rank and file citizen status of regel during the regalim. And that's what Rava now has to prove. And therefore, Shema Minoah, we'll see his proof in a second, that noeg tzoraso beregel. That a mitzora, we're talking about a rank and file citizen who's a mitzora, he's noeg his avelus, his tzoras, even on the regel, that the regel with its mitzvah of simcha cannot override the avelus of a mitzora as it can with regard to classical avelus. And how do I know this? Because the kohen gadol is still considered an onein, he's still considered an avel if he's a mitzora, even though he has the din of a regel. The whole year round he has the din of a regel. How does Rava know that the kohen gadol status is that of a regel the whole year round? This non, because we have a Mishnah, kohen gadol makriv onen, that a kohen gadol can do an avoda v'akrovas hakarbon in the Migdash, even though he's what? He's an onen. And why is that so? What's the difference between a kohen gadol who's an onen and a kohen hedger who's an onen? Why do we say that a kohen gadol who's an onen is allowed to do the avoda and a kohen hedger is not? Says Rava, the answer is because a kohen gadol has something to mitigate his aninus. What does he have to mitigate his aninus? Regel, because he's considered keregel b'chol yimos hashana. And that din of regel is going to completely nullify and neutralize his status as an onen. So it comes out according to Rava that a kohen hedjot, if he's an onen, cannot do the avoda, and yet a kohen gadol, even though he's an onen, could do the avoda because of his status as keregel b'chol hashana. And the regel status undermines and neutralizes his status as an onen.
We have a diet that says onen and not avoda.
I don't know. At this point, I can't answer that question because I'm assuming that it's the same din. But now we get back to the case of a kohen gadol who's a mitzora. Here, the aninus, or the avelus, takes on a whole new status. And it's much more chomer. And therefore, despite the fact that he has a din of regel all year round, that is not going to nullify his din of avelus v'toras mitzora, because that's an upgraded kind of an avelus, and therefore the kohen gadol himself is excluded as a mitzora from doing the avoda. And that's even though, despite the fact that he is keregel, so comes along Rav and he says, you see that regel cannot override the avelus of a mitzora, and therefore those dinim that contradict regel, like for example wearing shoes or giluach or all that kind of stuff, that's going to apply to a mitzora on the regular as it does on a regular day of the year. And we see that from kohen gadol, because his din of as an ovel within the context of mitzora is not going to be mitigated by the regal status of a kohen gadol the whole year round. And how, says Rava, do I know that the kohen gadol has the status of keregel the whole year round? This I know from the fact that he's makriv onen. What's the difference between a kohen gadol and a regular kohen hedjot in terms of aninus? They both have the identical status of the aninus with the same level of chiyuv aninus, and all the surim of an onen apply to a kohen gadol as they do to a kohen hedjot. Let's say, for example, an onen is not allowed to eat kodshim, that applies to a kohen gadol. An onen is not allowed to drink wine or eat meat, that applies to a kohen gadol. All these dinim apply the same. And all of a sudden you're telling me that he's allowed to be makriv as an onen because he's a kohen gadol. What happened over here? The only difference I can inject into this picture is that he has the status of a regel. And the regel undermines his status as an onen. Again, not in the case of a Torah, but in the case of a regular Aninus. So that's what we have in the sugya in Moed Kot.
Isn't that what that's what it says in the Torah? Speak there, the Moshe and Aaron.
Right, whether or not they could do the Hakrova, not do the Hakrova, and Aaron Paskins that they could do the Hakrova even as Aninus, and therefore Min HaMikdash Lo Yetze. Oh, Frekta Rosh Hashiva, I don't get it. The whole sugya makes no sense. Mamish, a powerful kash. He says the following. Why is it that an Onen is not a regular Kohen, I'm not talking about a Kohen Gadol, is excluded from Avodas HaMikdash? He says, L'chora, this is not Midine Aninus, this is not a din of Aninus, you know, he's violating or undermining his Aninus by doing the Avoda, it's a din in Kachin. It's a din in the Mizbeach. The reason why in Kodshim a Kohen Gadol who's an Onen is allowed to do the Avodah has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Simcha or his status as a regular all year round. Rav has no justification in deriving any conclusions. The reason is because in Kodshim, in Avodas HaKarban, the Torah made a difference between a Kohen Hedjot and a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol is not, how shall I say, excluded, bumped off from Avodas HaKorbanos, even in the case where he's an Onen. So there never was an Iser Onen of Avoda with regard to the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, if there never was such an Iser, I don't need to introduce an element of Regel here to justify or to mitigate or, shall we say, to trump the Iser Onen. There was never an Iser Onen to begin with. Says the Rosh Hashiva, the only way you could possibly understand the sugya of Rava, if you assume that the din that an Onen is enjoined, he's not acceptable for the Avodas HaKorbanos, is a din in Aninus. If it's a din in Aninus, that the Nihuge of an Onen generate all sorts of Isurim, he's not allowed to drink wine, he's not allowed to eat meat, he's not allowed to do the Avodah. Then you could say, oh, so why is the Kohen Gadol allowed to violate the Iser Aninus? The only thing that you could introduce is that he has a mitzvah which a Kohen Hedjah doesn't have. And that's the mitzvah of Regel. But what's the proof of Rava? Why should Rava jump to any conclusions here and assume that this din, that an Onen is excluded from Avodah, is a din in Dinei Aninus, and it has to do with Nehuge Aninus, Pashas is a din in Kachim, in Korbanos, that who's kosher for a korban? A balmum is not kosher for a korban. A tomei is not kosher for avodas hakorbanos. So there are many psulim avodas hakorbanos, and on that list is an onen. In fact, the din that an onen is possibly avodah is derived from balmum. So, if that be the case, then it's a din in kachim, and that psul of a kohen who's an onen to do the Avodah was not extended by the Torah, was not applied by the Torah to include a Kohen Gadol. Then what does that have to do with Regel? It's not that Regel is coming as a mitigating circumstance. So there is no Regel. Let's argue with Rava. But the din is that the Torah never passed the Kohen Gadol for the Avodah. So here Rava builds castles in the sky based on the fact that there's a matir in Kohen Gadol and Aninus because he's Karegel. Forget about the matir. There was never a psul Kohen Gadol for the Avodah to begin with. So in order to answer this question in the paragraph that starts Ela Deyesh, not Ela Dehine, he quotes Rashi in the Sugya in Moed Kot. Rashi in the Sugya Moed Kot and throws in a monkey wrench here that has nothing to do with the Sugya Lechora. Rashi says, what's the raya of Rava from Kohen Gadol? He says, Ha de Kohen Gadol kol hashana l'didei kereg l'kul yalma dami. How does Rava prove that a Kohen Gadol has the mitzvah of regel all year round? He's always lifnei Hashem. This nine, we have a Mishnah that says that Kohen Gadol makriv onen. That was Rava. Says Rashi, v'lo madnu de Kohen Gadol makriv onen. Onen eno mishaleach korbanosa. Please underline those three words in Rashi. Eno mishaleach korbanosa. Now wait a second. We've been dealing with the question of hakrovas hakarman. We wanted to know if that avoda could be done by an onen, and we differentiated between a kohen hedjot and a kohen gadol. Rashi is introducing a whole new element into the equation: the halacha of mishaleach korbanosa. That the law is that an onen during the entire year, and now we're not talking about a kohen, by the way, we're talking about a Yisrael, a zar, he cannot send his korban to the Beis Hamikdash. That's only the whole year round, with the exception of what? The regal. In the three regalim, he's allowed to be mshaleach his korbanosa. And yet, with regard to the kohen gadol, who's an onen, he can send his korbanos if he likes, he could even do the avoda if he likes, even though he's an onen, and that's the whole year round. Why does Rashi introduce this whole concept of being mshaleach korbanosa? Until now we're talking about the fact that an onen, who's a regular kohen, is enjoined from doing the avoda, as opposed to kohen gadol. But Rashi introduced mshaleach korbanosa into the equation. What compelled Rashi to introduce that? So here is a chiddush from the Grach. What?
Because it doesn't do the avoda, apparently.
Correct. If it's not after the avoda, then it has to do with the Isra Aninus. That's what Reb Chaim wants to be mechadish. And the Isra Aninus entails an Isra being of bringing makrav a korban. I don't mean in the sense of akrava, but of bringing a korban, of having a korban, even if you send it through someone else. So I don't know if you're interested in going through this Reb Chaim on another occasion. Just let me know beforehand, you know, if you want to. It's a beautiful Reb Chaim. Okay.
You said before that the song, which is a mantra, maybe it's not it's still needed, so it must not be a mantra. But I can bring a right to the left. Ross, what's the name of a mantra to it? But I can bring a right, it's more clear than the rules anymore. So it's an onen. An onen doesn't make bracha.
No, so wait a minute. So let's say I couldn't make the bracha, would I be allowed to eat it without
that? That's the point. You're an onen, you're not allowed to make the bracha. But you're allowed to eat it.
Oh, from an onen. Oh, I didn't understand what you were saying. I thought you were saying that something
from an onen. But I'm sorry,